you have noticed that I'm still recovering from some congestion things going on, but I was even offered a cough drop, but I think I'd sound even worse with that in my mouth while I'm trying to speak. But thank you for your concern and your prayers. Today we continue in a series in which we have been looking at the miracles that take place within the scriptures and wondering about the multitude of these occurrences and looking at some of the details within them, but especially what we're doing is finding what this means for us today. And last week I said that today would be the last week of that series, but I realized something in planning, and I've kind of foreshadowed it, that this could go on forever. There are literally hundreds of miracles that take place in the scriptures, and I've been kind of categorizing them and putting them in their own distinct piles and trying to offer them to us in that way. And what I realize is, calendar-wise, next week is the end of the church calendar. Next week is the end of the church year. The week after that is the first week of Advent. So that last Sunday of November is the first week of Advent, and that means that's the first week of our church calendar. We don't quite go by the American calendar as we know it. We have a completely separate church calendar that starts on Advent. So next week is the last week of the church year, and it is also the week that we lead into Thanksgiving, and we still haven't covered the greatest miracle yet. So we are dedicating next week not just to Thanksgiving, but to the miracle that took place on the cross, and the miracle that God has given us His only Son, and so we're saving that. That's what we were going to talk about anyway, but we're going to just incorporate it into this messages in the miracle. So next week will be the last Sunday of messages in the miracles, but we're still on track and everything, but today is just week six, and so a 7-week series is definitely a record for me. Usually I keep them to 3 or 4 weeks at a time so that we can kind of always be moving, but if you have just joined in or you've missed a couple, please know that there's nothing you need to know from week one that will hinge on whether or not today makes sense. We're always certain that whatever's taking place in these scriptures and whatever's taking place in these miracles, it is for us today, and that it will hopefully give you something to reflect on and something to carry with you throughout this week. Today we are looking at this distinct pile of miracles that is almost as abundant as the one we looked at last week. Today we're looking at the miracles that take place with animals, and there are a multitude of those as well. And so I thought we'd first start with naming them, just as we kind of did last week, except I'd love to hear it from you. What miracles can you... you don't have to name the miracle. You can just name the animal. And maybe we can remember together a miracle that took place in the scriptures around that animal.
Donkey.
Donkey. Both of you at the same time. Nice. All right. There's a... What's that? Doves. Pigs. So let's go. Donkeys was like Balaam and the talking donkey. There was also the colt or donkey that Jesus rode on. And he said, go into town and get a donkey. And it was there, just as he said. It's pretty amazing. There's another one with a donkey that there was like a lion attack. And the prophet that was riding the donkey was attacked, but the donkey was spared because the donkey was innocent. There's a lot of donkey stuff. Yeah, yeah. sidetrack. Sorry. Doves, for certain. There was a dove that descended on Jesus as he was baptized. What was the other one? Pigs. Well, we're going to talk about the pigs today, with the outcast spirit. I heard lions. Oh my goodness! Yes, there's Daniel in the lion's den. Dog. That's a good question. We're going to get to that. There's a mention of a dog in Scripture when Jesus is talking to a woman and he says that something along the lines of like the she's not worthy, and she says dogs would even receive the crumbs off the table, and he says indeed, and kind of blesses her in that. But it wasn't actually a dog, but that's the only real mention of dogs that I can think of. I don't think that I remember a miracle happening around dogs, but that's a good question because we will come back to that. What other animals can you think of that? The serpent. There's a couple serpents. I mean, that the devil can speak through a serpent in the beginning, but also Aaron's staff turns to a serpent and swallows up all the other magicians' staffs, and that's pretty amazing. The raven that we talked about a little bit that brings Elijah food, brings meat to Elijah as he's in the wilderness. And every animal, cheater. That's yes, Noah, and that counts for sure. Camels and sheep. There's countless mentions of camels and sheep within the scriptures. A whale, Jonah and the whale. Can you imagine? Even just sea creatures in general. So the whale is called somehow to carry Jonah for 3 days and place him, we'll call it place him safely on the beach. And the fish, the feast of 5,000 fish and the catching of, when they haul in that catch of 138, I forget what the number is, but a haul so heavy that they can't even bring it on board. They have to drag it to the shore. There's so many. What about the one? So I know that I just said that it doesn't matter if you were here on week one or not, but the very first one I mentioned as we went into this series was Elijah and the bears. Elijah's walking down the road and is teased by some teenagers, and he summons a couple bears out of the wilderness, and they, yeah, it's they maul 42 teenagers. I don't know if that's a miracle or not, but it happens, and it's a prophet of God summoning a creature to do, I guess, God's work. It's a strange story, and I'd invite you to read that and interpret it on your own, but he was getting teased for being bald and got really mad. Yeah. I have a, let's see. There's a lot. The one that still amazes me and that I'm certain I don't know everything about it, the one that we're going to share today is this moment in which Jesus casts out a legion of demons. There's a man who's possessed and he casts out that spirit or those spirits, however you want to see that, into a herd or a flock. Is it a herd of pigs? A bunch of pigs, yeah. And those pigs all run off a cliff and drown. That's the one we're going to look at today. And I don't know that I understand all that this has to offer. This is a big story, and it's something I've never tried, and I doubt you have either, but there's truth to it, And it's okay for something within the scriptures to be bigger than our understanding. I'm certain that there's still something within this that gives us understanding and peace and knowledge of the power of God. And so that's the one we're looking at this morning. That's the one I invite you now to prayerfully receive. It's from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. That is an amazing moment in Jesus' ministry on earth. And it tells us so many things. That Jesus has power over nature. We've learned that as he calmed the seas. He has power over animals, as we've seen throughout the scriptures, but here is more than just power over human and animal. It is power over the spiritual domain. It's acknowledgement of this spiritual world that exists beyond our physical, that exists around us and sometimes in us, and even is able to exist within our fellow creatures, our fellow non-human creatures. It's amazing to think that a spirit is able to dwell within a human and an animal. And that Jesus has power over that. That Jesus can speak it into its dwelling and out of its dwelling. What's amazing to think is that we've been given these same powers. In faith, we've been granted everything that Jesus has done. The scriptures tell us that in faith, everything that Jesus has done, we're capable of doing in faith. It's amazing to me, especially that part about this spiritual world, that there is evidence of it beyond just knowing the scriptures. I think we've been witness to it. I'm certain I have. That there is translatable spirit within human and animal. And perhaps it's gotten out of control a little bit in this world. You've seen both extreme sides of this, both in both directions of this understanding. You've seen the very extremes of this. You've seen the complete lack of acknowledgement of it in chicken farms, in which tens of hundreds of thousands of chickens are crammed into a warehouse and biologically engineered just so that we can have meat and eggs, and they're given no life, no true life. There's no spirit in that. That is far from acknowledging creation and God's good work and the possibility of spirit and spiritual connection to our food. We've taken that too far. In much of our eating practices, especially within the United States, we have abolished this idea that we are handling God's creation. We've been given dominion, and yet we've taken it and dominated it to the point that the spiritual life is non-existent. That is one extreme of the understanding that spirit exists within both human and animal. The other extreme that we've also witnessed in this world is and there's truth in it. It's that extreme of the emotional support animal. Don't get me wrong, I believe that you can have emotional, spiritual connections to animals. I do. And I've seen others that do. But if you take a minute to look at the list of animals that people keep as emotional support animals, it's absurd. There's emotional support spiders and snakes and badgers and you name it. It's out there. Chickens and hamsters and monkeys. People have them as emotional support creatures. But I think that's extreme. I think if you are so direly emotionally injured that you are gaining wellness from your relationship with a spider, it's time to seek out help. You need a greater creature. You probably need human interaction. You probably need to talk to someone. And no, you're not bringing your emotional support alligator on the plane with me. But those are the extremes of something that we know there's a truth within. We've seen it throughout the scriptures, and we've seen it in our own lives, that we have that ability to gain wellness, to share comfort with creatures. And it's an amazing gift. Who has a pet? There's something to it. There really is something to having a pet. And it blows my mind that dogs and cats aren't mentioned in the scriptures. Because of the emotional healing that I've seen take place with dogs and maybe a couple cats. Right. It's got to be their choice, right? I think that dogs and maybe some cats are capable of being a healing presence in our lives. And I think that there is a transfer of spirit that takes place. I think they recognize pain. I'm certain of it. Absolutely. And I think that we can understand living creatures to be vessels of God's Holy Spirit. That if we acknowledge that God is working through animals, and we've named all of them, and we've seen all of them within the scriptures, we've seen all of them within creation, that we have to also understand their role in the kingdom. I have two stories I'd like to share of my witness to this. The first one is at the University of Michigan Hospital. When I was in Ypsilanti, that was the local hospital, and it's amazing. It is the best care facility I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of them. We have a United Methodist deacon that works in the U of M hospital as a chaplain. And I was blessed to go meet with her a couple times, and one time that I met with her, she had a dog in her office, and they were just initiating this program of having dogs visiting people in the hospital, taking dogs room to room to be a blessing. She was a United Methodist pastor working as a chaplain in the hospital, and she had the best job on the planet. She got to take amazing dogs to people who were hurting. And I got to meet one of those dogs that day and talk about it, and it was neat. But then, about a month later, I got to see a different dog in action, and it absolutely blew my mind. I was visiting a congregant who had a heart attack, and she was recovering, and she was going to be okay, and she is still okay today, but she was hurting, and she was in the hospital, and her daughter was there with her, and me, and we were talking, and we got a knock on the door. Would you like a visitor? And oh my goodness, they have a Great Dane that is the biggest dog you've ever seen in your life. And it knew its job so well. It walked in the room, scanned the three of us, and saw the one in most need. And he's the perfect size to go sit by a hospital bed and plop his whole head right on that person's lap. And we all three just bawled. You couldn't help it. That dog just knew. No sounds, just plop, that big head and the weight on her lap, and she just cried and petted him. And he knew. He knew exactly what to do. He knew exactly how long it took. There was spirit shared there. Those chaplains had prayed over those dogs and sent them out to be spiritual vessels in the kingdom. And they knew how to do that. And they did it well. It was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And as soon as that dog picked its head up and she was smiling, her daughter and I were like, well, I want some. You know, we were both like immediately all over that dog and petting him. But he didn't really want anything to do with us. He was on to the next room. Yes, we were both hurting. We both could use some love. We were showing that. But that dog knew who he was there for. And he had someone else to go tend to. It's amazing. And it's not just a thing. It's a system. It's a program at the University of Michigan Hospital. They have like 12 dogs working right now. It is amazing. That was about a year before we got a dog. And I've had dogs my whole life, but I knew that I was allergic and still got talked into another one. And so today we have Roxy, who's a full-blood pit bull, who just turned 3 last week. And that dog is an emotional support dog. You can tell who in our house is having the worst day because that's who she's cuddled up against. And I've never seen, we knew that from the very beginning. We have a kid that, I mean, we all deal with anxieties, but he has some pretty major struggles, and they are best friends. And she knows when it's time to go be with him. And it's like a switch. As soon as he touches her, there's like a change. But what I got to witness about a month ago was mind-boggling to me. I was in my bedroom, and I have a kind of a corner chair that I make calls from and write notes in and kind of hide from the rest of the house. And she knows that, and so she's got a little bed made there beside me. And she was doing what she normally does, which is just sleeping all day. But I was on the phone with someone from the church, and we talked for probably 10 minutes, and she didn't move. She just laid there snoring. And then I started to pray with that person. And I've done that before. We pray at dinner, and she doesn't act any different. We pray regularly, and she doesn't seem to change. But something in that moment sparked something that she's not done before, which is, as I'm praying on the phone, sitting down, she climbs up on my lap and just leans her whole body up against me. And I'm like kind of trying to not laugh, but also like trying to keep her off me so I can still talk on the phone. But she sensed that something was going out from me. Something was changing within my spirit. I was in the spirit of prayer, and I was engaged fully in that. Something happened there that she recognized a spiritual change within the room, within me. And she jumps up and just is her full weight against my chest, pushing me back. And as soon as I say the amen, she jumps back down and goes back to sleep. Like it didn't even happen. It's an amazing thing. And it hurts my heart that that dogs aren't mentioned in the scriptures, because I know that it's possible. I know it's possible for a creature to possess spirit. And I think especially in dogs, and I guess maybe some cats. But that neither of them is mentioned. I mean, they are newer in the timeline of history. They are kind of newer as pets than what was taking place there. But within the scriptures, we see value, real value to animals. When Abraham is moving from place to place and bringing with him his possessions, he's bringing what is most value, and it's his family, his tents, and his servants, and his livestock. In all the trading, in all the riches that we see, it's in livestock. There's real value there, and it's not like today. Expensive meat doesn't mean value. It's different. There's a spiritual value. There's something that says that if we are in possession of a creature, it could feed our family and its offspring and its offspring and its livelihood. It can be our wellness. It can nurture us and nourish us. That we can be in this true state of thanksgiving when we fully acknowledge the value of the kingdom around us. The moment that I have experienced the most outpouring and inpouring of thanksgiving in my whole life was deer hunting. The first time I killed a deer, I was alone. And I had worked a lot and wanted for that moment, and I was not prepared. I was a crying mess out in the middle of the woods, giving thanks to God, because I had never put value, so much value, into a creature before. It was a gift. It was a blessing. That animal was majestic and a gift. And I've never been so overwhelmed in that spirit of thanksgiving than I was in that moment. It shook me. I wasn't ready for it. It's an amazing gift. And I think what we need to know, if we're going to take a message out of the miracles that happen with creatures, we have to acknowledge that we are all God's creation. And that if it's of God, then it's of the Spirit. If it's of God, then it is of the kingdom. And that God can work in and around and through all of it, us and the creatures. When we see all of creation is within Christ, we come to understand that Christ is within all of creation. And the scripture I'd share with you to close this morning is John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. Everything that is created is of Christ. And all Christ is therefore within all of creation. I think something changes when we accept this reality, this spiritual reality that creatures of creation can possess spirit. And we've been given dominion over that. Dominion not to dominate, not to beat down and conquer, dominion to have power over, to give and receive and exchange spirit and power in God's creation. Amen. I invite us to